Welcome to the Broncos Podcast with Troy Rank. I am your host, Troy Rank, from the Denver Post. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Here as we enter the later stages, finally coming out of this complete frozen polar vortex. My word. Now, listen, I grew up in Colorado. I've lived here for five decades. Hadn't had it many stretches of five, 6 days of cold weather like this. So hopefully you're staying safe. Your pets are staying safe. Your car's running. It's starting because, man, is there anything worse, people, than having to scrape ice off windshields other than maybe shoveling snow and then scraping ice off windshields? It's like it's painted on. So I know we're due for some snow this weekend, and it looks like maybe next week we will warm up. And as we warm up, you warm up to some more football talk, folks. At that point, we will know next week who the Super Bowl participants are. I will be covering the Super Bowl for the Denver Post, so we'll be providing coverage there from New Orleans. You got the Chiefs, you got the Bills, you got the Eagles, and you got the Commanders. How far are the Broncos away from that? How far are the Broncos away from Super Bowl contention? What are some of the things that they need to do this offseason to improve? So I want to focus this pod on kind of going through the roster, quick summary of kind of each position group of where they are, kind of way too early, grades, and looking forward to what would make them be a contender to play on this weekend in the NFL. I've said before, I think it's very possible they could play in the divisional weekend next year and win a game. I think that's certainly within reason. And there was some news that came out today here on Thursday that suggests why the Broncos are in the conversation to move up into one of those top eight teams in the NFL and certainly one of the top four teams in the AFC. What was that news? And why should that have Broncos country optimistic, disappointed, their team's not still playing, but optimistic as we move in and trudge along into the offseason? We're going to get to all of that after the break. Hey, listen, have you been hurt in a car wreck or injured at work? What are you waiting for? Give my friends at Hoggett Injury Law a call. Their motto, with us, it's personal. I've known Darby Hoggett forever. We traveled around the country watching our boys play baseball. I coached his son in hoops. We became good friends. Many of Darby's clients become his good friends. He's just a good dude. You don't even have to pay Darby up front. If your case goes as planned, Darby will be the one writing checks to you. So again, if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt at work, give Darby's team a call. That's 1-833-H-O-G-G-A-T-T, 1-833-HOGGETT, or visit the website at hoggettlaw.com. BetOnline continues to be the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch the games as they happen. The largest selection of odds on everything from football, the NBA, college hoops, NHL, and UFC. So head to BetOnline today and don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE. That's B-L-E-A-V. B-L-E-A-V for your welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Welcome back to the Broncos Podcast with Troy Rank. I am your host, Troy Rank, from the Denver Post. Again, hope you're having a wonderful weekend. You had a chance to digest and adjust to this snowy weather, but the cold. I mean, I was in Buffalo a few weeks ago, and there's nothing like Midwest and Northeastern cold, but we've had a hint of it here because of the humidity. And so I hope you're all staying safe. If you can't tell, I'm not a huge fan of the cold. As I've gotten older, I've liked it less. Growing up, I mean, we used to snow ski in it at times. I mean, I was an athlete growing up playing football, basketball, baseball. So you play it in football some, and then you'd ski some in the winter. But as I've gotten older, I don't ski much anymore. And so all I do with the snow is shovel it, scrape it off windshields, and drive in it. So as you kind of might imagine, I'm not as huge a fan of snow as I was when I was younger. But our pet bulldog, Bentley, loves it. So he enjoys walking in it. So there's always that, and it looks great. But snow is a reminder that it's cold, and it's a reminder that the football season came to a bitter end. But the Broncos, folks, are they that far off? And to turn the question even more, how far off are they? So we look at these four teams that are still remaining with the Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, and Commanders. I mean, the Commanders won, what, three games last year? They changed their entire franchise with ownership, new head coach in Dan Quinn, and Jaden Daniels, and all of a sudden they're one of the best teams in the league, and he is by far, for me, easily right now a top five quarterback in the NFL, Jaden Daniels. when you say, well, a rookie can't do it, for me, he's a top five quarterback. I mean, you have the four with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow, and I'd put Jaden Daniels fifth right now. I mean, just the way he's played. It's not just the stats. It's the way he plays on third down. It's the way he plays in the fourth quarter. It's the way he plays on fourth and one. I mean, the guy makes every crucial play, and he brings an energy, an infectious attitude, and this absolutely playing without a pulse in the biggest pressure situations. He brings that to his team. And that's why I've seen some of that with Bo Nix in games. We haven't seen it to the degree, certainly, of Jaden Daniels. But when you look at a team that turns it around, that's an example of why I think the Broncos can move into the top four of the AFC next year, because of what I believe will be linear progression of Bo Nix if they add weapons, and the ability to win a couple more games. So you have a chance going into the playoffs as now a little more experienced team, and a chance to win that first game. And then who knows? And just like you saw with Washington, you get to as a heavy underdog on the road and the ugly guy in the fight, sometimes, not always, but it can work to your advantage. It can work to your advantage. But and just a final tangent on that is Dan Quinn, congrats to him. When you look at the Cowboys, you let Dan Quinn go, they let Kellen Moore go, and now they still don't have a coach. There's been, you know, certainly talk with Deion Sanders where it appears that Deion Sanders and Jerry Jones are using each other for leverage. Jones to keep his team in the headlines and with attention, and Deion has not signed a contract extension. So, you know, he wants more NIL money, wants more money for assistance. And I know from talking to sources he'd want more than north of $8 million a year of what Singetti got at Indiana. But Dan Quinn was right there. And they let him go. They let him go to Washington after last year's disappointing playoff loss. What is surprising to me is that Dan Quinn interviewed twice for the Broncos job and didn't get it either time, mainly the time they hired Hackett, because George Payton was friends with Dan Quinn. He knew him. They had worked together. They had a history. And they still ended up with Hackett. I mean, you know it causes sleepless nights for George Payton, who's had a nice rebound in his career these last few years with his drafts and some shrewd free agency signings as he's worked with Sean Payton. But, you know, between the Hackett hiring and the Russell Wilson contract, it's just bizarre that, especially with Hackett, that Quinn won out or didn't win out, that Kevin O'Connell didn't win out. But it happened. Maybe it was all meant to happen to get him to Payton, to get him to Bo Nix. And that's where they are right now. But we look in the AFC, and I'll be writing about this in the Denver Post. I mean, the Chiefs have been in the AFC Championship game seven straight years. They're a dominant team. They become the new dynasty. They're trying to do something nobody's done. Win three straight. You got Mahomes v. Josh Allen. Mahomes has never lost to Josh Allen in the playoffs. He's 3-0 against him. I think he's 1-3 in the regular season. Never lost him in the playoffs. But the Chiefs are becoming more and more difficult to root for, not only because there's Chiefs fatigue, and I've written about that, but they're not as fun to watch. They're built around defense much more now. They just don't turn the ball over. They don't make mistakes. They're an excellent defensive team with Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator. Well-timed blitz. You know, Chris Jones, first ballot Hall of Famer on the interior, McDuffie on the outside. And they're just really good defensively. They force you into making difficult decisions. And offensively, they just plod along until they need to make a huge drive, and they can beat you in a low-scoring game. And it almost reminds me of the San Francisco Giants when they were winning three titles back in the, 10, 14, whatever it was for the Giants in baseball. They were the best team with hitting with runners on base. You know, they get a guy at second base, 1-0 game, walk, boom, bunt, second and third, single, now they're up 2-1. I mean, they lived it with that formula because of their pitching, and that's kind of how the KC defense is. But it's becoming difficult because of the fatigue. It's becoming difficult because of the calls that go in their favor. And I know Chiefs fans want to say it doesn't pan out that way. If you look at regular season statistics, it doesn't. The numbers don't suggest that. But in the playoffs, they do. In their last 10 playoff games, the opponents have been penalized double to what they have. And the number of personal fouls on quarterbacks, the last number I saw in the last since 2022 is 5-1. And I love Patrick Mahomes' game. He's going to go down as an all-time great. Might be go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. At some point, he's manipulating the rules to where it should be beneath him. I mean, the first call on Will Anderson last week was a bad call. I could sort of live with it. They said they quickly reviewed it, and they're told to err on anything on the side of the head. Okay, that's a debatable call. Obviously, the one side view showed he hit him in the shoulder. He didn't hit him in the head, and it continued to drive, and it led to 3 points. And at the end of the game where he's running around, and this is where it's not in the spirit of the rule. And Tom Brady said this on Colin Cowherd on Wednesday, that as soon as the quarterback leaves the pocket as a running back now, because the quarterbacks have, and I understand why owners don't want this. It's a Broadway play. They don't want the lead out having to go to the understudy. The quarterbacks in the games. Better for viewing. It's better for ratings. Reality is when he runs that, and at the last minute he stops and does this fake slide, that's not the spirit of the rule. And two guys helmet to helmet each other, and they get a penalty. And then right after that, he's running out of bounds, and he flops trying to draw a flag because he always gets the flag. And that's the other issue with it. It's like if you always give them this calls, you're enticing them to continue to try to manipulate the system. So for me, they need to be able to review these roughing calls on quarterbacks, and that when the quarterback leaves the pocket, he's no longer protected. He's a runner at that point. And three, if you try to flop, that should be a penalty on the offense. That should be a penalty on the offense. And because of all their success, which is well-earned, it's like they should be beneath that. They don't need the help. I guess that's kind of my point. It's no different when I watch LeBron James. LeBron James is all-time great. And to some, he's the greatest basketball player ever. Mine will always be Michael Jordan because of the era I grew up in. But the idea that you whine and grouse about every call, it's unbecoming at some point. Like, you don't need to do it. Like, there's moments in a game once in a while, I understand it, but LeBron has forged this reputation that, like, every other time up and down the court, he's arguing with the officials over something. And it's just, like, dude, you're an all-time great. Like, enough. And, you know, I don't remember Shaq getting calls. You know, I don't remember Kobe like that. I mean, Michael Jordan got calls. He certainly didn't whine the way that LeBron does. And this is what I'm saying. It just takes a little bit away from their greatness that they don't need to do it. They're better than everyone else. So, but it's a difficult matchup for the Bills. I'll be honest, transparent. I was rooting for the Ravens to win because I thought the Ravens had a better chance to knock off the Chiefs. And the Ravens were my pick before the season to win the Super Bowl, but they didn't. And Lamar Jackson, while he played a great second half, he had two brutal turnovers in the first half, where he missed communication on a coverage, throws a ball up for grabs, picked off. But the one that killed him was that fumble that Von Miller recovered, where he's running around and just go down. There's no play to be made there. You're spinning around. You're holding the ball with one hand. Go down. You live to fight another day. And then Mark Andrews, obviously, you know, good to the last drop. And maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Ravens still don't win that game. But he has a fumble and a drop. You don't have that kind of margin for error in those games. So what does that mean for the Broncos? I mean, right now the Chiefs are favored to go back to the Super Bowl to face the Eagles, the Super Bowl we saw a couple years ago. The Broncos are coming off a season with 10 wins, and they're not that far away. And there's some good news, and that's why I want to say first the good news, and I'm getting about it to a roundabout way today. They announced the finalists for the NFL Honors Banquets for players for the top awards in the NFL. And the Broncos have finalists in three categories. Pat Surtain, a finalist, AP Defensive Player of the Year. He is the favorite when you look at that category. He is clearly the favorite because of, you know, Watt just cooled off. It usually goes to an edge rusher, but when you look at what Watt did at the end of the year, there's no chance he gets it. So when you look at AP Defensive Player of the Year, it's Pat Surtain is in that conversation. Zach Braun from the Eagles, what a find he was for Vic Fangio. Miles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Surtain, TJ Watt. The clear favorite in that is Surtain. I will be there at the NFL Honors. I fully expect Surtain to win that award. Then you go to AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. Brock Bowers, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. of the Jaguars, the receiver, and Bo Nix of your Denver Broncos. So five rookies selected for that award as finalists. Bo Nix is one of them. I would suggest that he would be third. So it would go Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, Bo Nix, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., if I had to guess how the voting goes, because there's always a tilt, a multiplier for quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels is going to win it, clearly. And these are, just so you know, these awards are voted before the playoffs, so it doesn't have any impact on how they perform in the playoffs. That's the only way it can be fair, because obviously most teams don't go to the playoffs. But that's a good sign. And then AP Coach of the Year. Earlier in the year, we thought he had a shot, but then it tailed off. But you got Sean Payton in there. It's Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, Andy Reid. I mean, Dan Quinn, obviously, if the playoffs are involved, he would win it. But I would think it's going to be between Quinn and O'Connell. Of that group, Payton's probably fifth, if we're being honest. But when you wonder why Broncos are turning it around, hello? You got the Defensive Player of the Year in Pat Surtain. You got a top three offensive rookie of the year in Bo Nix, and you got a coach who's in the finalist for coach of the year. That's how you get the blinker on and you turn the corner. And those are good things. Those are good things. So let's look at this roster and some of these areas that they're going to have to address. And they did some good things in 2024. We're not going to spend as much time on every position, but I want to do a quick summary to give you guys a good feel of where they're at as they go into this offseason, because it heats up pretty quickly after the Super Bowl. You get right into the combine and then the free agency and then the draft. And as Sean Payton told me, like, we have to have a good offseason. And they did last year. That's the part of the reason they were able to make that jump. Not only because they bought into the hungry, young and hungry and dangerous, but they made really good decisions with Malcolm Roach and players like that that changed just how they competed, changed some of that culture. And you need more decisions like that. Quarterback, we'll start there. Bo Nix, he's set. He's 24. His contract goes through 2027 with a fifth-year option. They are in good spot with him. Who's the backup going to be? I know Zach Wilson would like to go start somewhere else, at least have that opportunity. So if I had to guess between the two of them, Wilson and Stidham, there's a better chance you could bring back Stidham than Wilson, because I think Stidham really understands at this point in his career he's not going to be really a candidate to start anywhere. So, but they need a backup quarterback, and that room between Wilson and Stidham and Nix was really close. Their families were close. Their wives were close. They had dinners each week, and that helped the development of Bo Nix, the support those two gave him. So if you're a Broncos fan, you would like one of those two to come back. I would think the best chance would be Stidham. No guarantee, but I think Zach Wilson's going to want to try to get into camp somewhere where he's competing for a starting job. Running back, it's all over the map, and because we fully expect this is going to be a position they addressed in the draft. Kid from North Carolina, the kid from Iowa. It's a good draft. I mean, you've seen the Ashton Gentry mock drafts, or maybe the Broncos get him, but I fully expect them to draft a running back. But you got Tyler Bidet, Audric Estime, Jaleel McLaughlin, Blake Watson, Javonte Williams, Mike Burton. I'm saying probably half those guys aren't here. You know, Estime, I think, comes back, competes for a job. McLaughlin's back. I don't know about Watson. I don't know about Bidet, maybe one of the two. I do not see Javonte Williams back, and obviously Mike Burton, he's a guy you kind of cut, move around on the roster. He's a fullback, and they used a fullback, but he's someone on the 53 cut, put on practice squad, bring back, because so few teams use the fullback. But Estime is an X factor. You know, the fact he was a healthy scratch in the last game was just puzzling, but they are going to want to get more dangerous, versatile, and explosive at that position. Wide receiver, this is, again, an interesting position because I think they need to add one. Whether they would add one in free agency, I don't know. That's not usually Peyton's, the way he operates, but you got Troy Franklin, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Marvin Mims Jr., Courtland Sutton, Devon Vaile. Not a bad group. Sutton at 29 is the leader of that group. He's a guy that you need to come back. You got to figure out his situation because – you know, Sutton, could they consider moving him? He's got a cap figure of $20.2 million next year. Do you want to try to give him another deal to bring that number down? I mean, they were very reluctant, understandably so, to give him any additional money other than incentives this past offseason. So you got to keep an eye on that. Would you try to move him to bring in a T. Higgins and start the room over with a true number one? And that way you're going to spend more around $25 to $28 million a year if you're getting Higgins. But I think when you see coming back, Sutton will be back, Mims Jr. will be back. After that, who knows? I would like to see Franklin having to compete with Vele to make a roster because you're bringing in a known commodity. And it might be the end of little Jordan Humphrey. Again, the guy blocks. I get why they like him, but when you get past kind of Will Lutz, some of the guys that they brought in from the Saints, they're culture guys, but some of it's just not enough productivity if you enter year three with Sean Payton. Another guy to keep an eye on is A.T. Perry, a guy from the Saints who never came up from the practice squad. Could he be a factor? But the one thing I think you have to weigh with the receiver position, with Bo Nix's development, given how Sutton had a career best 81 catches, 135 targets, can you afford to move on from Sutton and then possibly stunt Bo Nix's development? I think you have to consider that. I understand the money and the finances with Sutton if you look at it in a vacuum. He's not worth $25 million a year, folks. He's not. But he has intrinsic value to you as a leader and to your quarterback's development. So how do you do that? You don't want to move on from Sutton and set back Bo Nix's development. Because Sutton, 81 catches, 1,081 yards, 8 touchdowns. That's a nice year. Not a great year, but it's really important year, especially on third down, especially how he was used. So is A.T. Perry part of that combination? I still think you got to keep an eye on them finding a receiver. Maybe it's the draft, maybe it's free agency, but they really need a 1A, 1B with Sutton, or a clear one that makes Sutton a 2. At tight end, listen, they absolutely have to overhaul this. Adam Trautman likely comes back because he's a coach on the field, coach in the room. Lucas Kroll, it's just not happening. And Nate Atkins, he's a blocker, he's a practice squad. But they have to completely rethink this room. And they're just not getting enough production. They had 337 yards and 4 touchdowns in 2023, 455 yards and 5 this year, this past season. That's just not good enough in a Sean Payton offense. 455 yards from your tight end room, not one player. They need one player to be around 600 yards, 6 touchdowns. So is that Tyler Warren? Is that Colston Loveland? Those are first rounders. Is that Taylor from LSU? Harold Fanning Jr. There are so many tight ends in this draft. But you see what Mike Gesicki does for the Bengals and how that opens up their offense. You've got to get a guy, a tight end that can be open in the middle of the field for Bo Nix. Because tight ends are a security blanket. They are the Linus to the quarterback when it comes to third down. And to get one that just can sit in a zone and get that first down 7-yard completion to turn it into second and 3, they 100% need that. It's like, it's not even debatable. They've been the worst in the league the last 3 years from tight end production. They can't move forward with this room. I don't expect them to. So based on the draft, that's where we think they'll get that position addressed. Offensive line, they're in a really good spot. You look at the offensive line, Quentin Bailey should be back. We'll see. But Garrett Bowles, Frank Crum, Alex Forsythe, Mike McGlinchey, Quinn Miners, Alex Bolchevsky, Matt Pert, Ben Powers, Luke Wattenberg. They're pretty much set. Given the continuity they've showed, Luke Wattenberg stepped up at center. You got all of the starters under contract through 2025, thanks to my man Parker Gabriel for setting some of this up, especially with the contracts. That you're looking at a line with Garrett Bowles' contract extension this during the season at left tackle, Ben Powers' contract at left guard, Luke Wattenberg, young player under contract at center. You got right guard, the best player on the line, Quinn Miners, and right tackle, Mike McGlinchey. I mean, that's the other thing. This team, that group was one of the best in pass blocking. They are better in run blocking than the metrics show. They have to get a better running back. And maybe part of it's the scheme. Maybe you put 6 linemen in more. Maybe you pull guys more. Maybe you tweak it. There's no reason they shouldn't run the ball better. They haven't had a 100-yard rusher since Sean Payton took over as coach of the team. That is absolutely an indictment of this offense with this line. It'd be different if the line sucked. The line doesn't. So next year they go in, all 5 guys coming back. They're in a good position. They're in a good position. They've got depth. They've got experience. This is why when you say, like, why could they make a run into that next group and win a game in the divisional round? It starts there. It starts there up front. O-line, D-line. So let's go right to there. When they looked at how they were going to change this image of this team, of a soft team, there was a clown car under Hackett, no identity, no toughness. They looked at the O-line, D-line. And that, if you want to know, if you want to draw a line of what changed from December of 2022, where you got Randy Gregory punching guys at SoFi Field and Dalton Reisner pushing, ripping the backup quarterback, and everyone laughing, including Patrick Starr, laughing at Russell Wilson on the Nickelodeon broadcast. If you want to know what changed, that's what changed. The O-line, D-line. They addressed the O-line, D-line by getting McGlinchey and Powers in free agency, signing Bowles to an extension, moving in Wattenberg for Lloyd Cushenberry. They have a good line. They got to get better run blocking there. But D-line, you look at this D-line, they have a huge change this year. They went from one of the worst run-stopping teams in the league to one of the best overnight. Zach Allen, absolute just – TJ, JJ Watt, more like JJ Watt light. Like this guy at 27, just huge season, all pro season. Zach Allen, John Franklin Myers, Jordan Jackson, DJ Jones, Malcolm Roach, and Ini Iwazurike. They also have Matt Henningsen and Jordan Miller. Again, the overhaul of that line was the most important thing they did this offseason other than draft Bo Nix, because they were so bad in stopping the run. It's hard to win that way. The only reason they had that five-game winning streak 2 years ago is because you get this crazy amount of takeaways, like 14 takeaways in like five games. That's not realistic. But this year they stopped the run. They were top five against the run all season. And when you added Franklin Myers and Roach to the group, and they traded for Franklin Myers, give up hardly anything for him, but a great trade, shrewd trade, and you signed Malcolm Roach, a big body up front, it allowed to unleash the potential of DJ Jones and Zach Allen. Jones is a free agent. He's someone I don't know if they'll bring back because there's some girth in this draft, and you could go cheaper there. I'd love to see them bring back Jones on a two-year deal with maybe 1 year of it guaranteed. At this point in his career, I'm not sure. When I talked to DJ after the season, he made it very clear he wants to change, or excuse me, wants to be here. Make it clear, wants to be here. When I asked him specifically, he said it's because of the culture. Things have changed around here. This is a winning team. They're turning the corner. He played on a winning team in San Francisco. He compared it favorably to that. He'd want to come back, but money's money. So we'll see if they have interest. But this group, you know, I think most of the draft attention is going to be on the offense, obviously, running back, tight end, receiver. But this is a spot they might have to address in the first couple rounds, especially if they move on from DJ Jones. But they're still in a good position moving forward with this group, other than Jones and free agency. Outside linebacker, they're in a great position. You got Bonito, you got Cooper, Ellis, Tillman, Andrew Farmer. I thought maybe you bring in a Von Miller in the offseason, but with the way Tillman played, I just don't think it's going to be necessary. And they're just, Sean Payton's shown no interest to bring back the past when it comes to the Broncos as he's tried to create a new future. Benito's going to be in line for a big contract. We'll see if they'll try to go into that, you know, $20 million range for Benito this offseason. He's due for a massive contract extension. They already locked up Cooper at $15 million a year. So he's coming back. He's the core of that. But they got nice depth at that position. Benito's not going anywhere. He's not going to be a free agent. But this would be the offseason to try to address it before that number gets even bigger. They're in a good spot there. I think you're going to have to add depth at that position. But Benito, Cooper, Ellis, Tillman. Ellis hurt his shoulder. He's going to have a surgery, but he's supposed to be ready for April. He got hurt, got hit in that Buffalo game when he was coming up trying to rush the passer, but it sounds like he's going to be okay, but he's out. Inside linebackers, out of the position they have to get better at. They got Lavelle Bailey, Cody Barton, Zach Cunningham, Drew Sanders, Alex Singleton, and Justin Cernod. Some names in there we absolutely love. You know, Singleton tore his ACL in week 3. Will he be able to come back healthy and productive? I've no doubt he'll be healthy. Singleton is an absolute gamer. They missed him. He's a coach on the field type. His effort, his energy, all that they miss. But at his age, coming back, you're talking about a guy who's 31 coming off ACL surgery. He's never been hurt before. He never missed practice before this year. So, you know, you give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's going to be hard. And they might have to adjust his contract to keep him around. anytime you get hurt and you're in your 30s in the NFL, you just don't know what that looks like. So does he come back? Drew Sanders is listed as possible inside linebacker, but for whatever reason, it hasn't clicked for him. And he makes for a very interesting, intriguing piece, but he's got to play smarter. Otherwise, they're going to keep him at the outside. And maybe moving him back and forth hurt him. They're just trying to get him on the field. But if he's going to play inside, he certainly has the athleticism. He's the best athlete in this group I just mentioned to you. He's the kind of playmaker they need, frankly, a sideline to sideline guy. But he's got to be able to play faster and play smarter. Being a great athlete is not enough at that position. You've got to be in position. And Sanders at inside hasn't shown that yet. Maybe this is it, the offseason it all clicks for him. Sternad has been a great special teams player who took advantage of extra playing time. In an ideal world, he's an extra player, a reserve special teams guy who comes in and gives you snaps here and there. But I think it's very clear they need to get a sideline to sideline player in the draft, someone you take a shot at in the third, fourth, fifth, somewhere in there. And maybe that guy comes in and pushes Sanders and you have a couple options, but they got to get better at that position. Cornerback, they're in a good spot. Sertan's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. You got Abrams Drain, Damari Mathis, Jaquan McMillan, Riley Moss, Tre'Mon Smith. They're set there. Drain is coming on. And again, Moss, I'll say this about Moss. He had a really good year. He was not the same when he came back from the knee injury. And Sertan was dealing with an ankle injury over that last 2-3 weeks as well. You could tell both were a little compromised. But Moss and Sertan moving forward, that's a great pairing. That's a top five pairing in the league. They should be set, health willing. Jaquan McMillan's one of the top nickelbacks. This is a guy's an absolute playmaker. And Chris Abrams Drain showed the stage wasn't too big when he had to play for Moss for a couple of weeks. So I think you might add depth there, bring in someone to challenge Damari Mathis. He's on the final year of his rookie deal. He improved. But for the most part, you're set there. Safety, Brandon Jones, Devin Key, PJ Locke, JL Skinner, Delarian Turner, Yell. Listen, the Broncos, as much as it hurt, Sean Payton was right to move on from Justin Simmons. Brandon Jones was a better fit at a lot cheaper price. He's a more physical player the way they wanted to play, the style they wanted to play. Jones was good. He'll be back. But they got to find a way with PJ Locke. He's good. Do they bring in someone to push him? Is JL Skinner ready to take on an additional role? He's shown some real skill on special teams. But this is a position where I'd like to see competition, not be satisfied. You like the room. The room did some really good things. But as you're trying to take the next step forward, I do think you need to bring in a strong safety type to push Locke. And maybe it's just Skinner internally, but I'd like to add one there. Special teams, you got Riley Dixon, Mitchell Fraboni, Will Lutz. Lutz has been a lock. He's been fine. He's been rock solid for the most part since he's been with the Broncos. Fraboni's been a really good. We don't talk about him. That means he's good. Riley Dixon's for me is inconsistent. He started strong. He had a couple really rough games, and it's just consistency with him. I think you got to at least look at your options there because of the fact that of the inconsistency. And who knows? You know, a new special teams coach, whether they name Chris Banjo or they try to bring in Darren Rizzi, if he doesn't get a job somewhere. Who knows Sean Payton from the Saints. The new special teams coach is going to figure largely into, I think, that punting competition. And so I think Dixon is someone you keep an eye on. But as you listen to all this, folks, we're not going down every position saying, oh, my God, they need this, 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 this. They're in a really good spot. They got to add playmakers on offense. That's the priority. You got to get a tight end. You got to get a running back. And you've got to get a receiver. And some of that's going to be from the draft. One or two of these are going to be free agency. And then D-line, you're going to have to add depth. You're going to have to add depth. I think you need to add someone to push them at corner. And then the most important position for me is inside linebacker defensively, where you could upgrade and get someone that could go sideline to sideline. When you look at the playoffs, you look at Milano for the Bills. You look at Bolton for the Chiefs. Like, there's reasons that some of those Brown, I think it is, the kid for the Eagles that Vic Fangio moves around. They're just kind of one piece away, a playmaker at inside linebacker. Barton and Sternad did nice work. Singleton is coming back, but you know, again, at his age, 31, there's uncertainty at what level he will perform and how much money they want to pay him. Will they rework that contract? but they're not in a bad spot. But those are the ones, as you sit here and think about the offseason, that you jot down. Tight end, running back, receiver, safety, inside linebacker. How they address those positions will go a long way in determining whether the Broncos are in the final four of the AFC next year. I think that's a very realistic goal, but they're not going to get there, and Bo Nix's growth will not be linear if they do not improve offensively and add playmakers. Folks, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're enjoying the offseason. This is one of my favorite weekends of football, the final four, with the Chiefs, the Bills, the Eagles, Commanders. As much as I don't think the Bills are win, I'll pick the Bills to win, and I'll pick the Eagles to win. So Bills-Eagles Super Bowl. Obviously, the Chiefs are favored. No one will be surprised if they win. Part of it is because I'm covering it, and I would like to cover the Bills' angle as a team that's never won the Super Bowl. Obviously, Bills-Washington would be fantastic. We haven't seen a matchup kind of that far off the radar in a long time. But if you ask my predictions, I say Bills, and I say Eagles. But again, we know how the Chiefs are. So, folks, I hope you have a great weekend. You enjoy your time. Stay warm. I could not do this pod without Big A, the producer behind the screen, Nate Lundy of Mile High Sports. Of course, Bet Online, our new partner, and my A1 from day one, Darby Hoggett of Hoggett Injury Law. Folks, Broncos country, I do this pod for you. Happiness that begins with me. Go out there and have a great day.